Welcome to another edition of Ride On Rangers Live, coming at you after a 2-1 win over the White Sox in series sweep. Thank you for joining us here on the show today. Really, really appreciate the support. Of course, here at Ride On Rangers, we cover everything sports, putting an extra emphasis, a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you again for choosing Ride On Rangers for all of your Texas Rangers content. A lot of different options out there. Appreciate y'all hanging out. We're going to get into all of the scoring, all of the highlights, the box score. We're going to do some players of the game for you. Going to do all that here in just a little bit. But we are going to enjoy a series sweep. Doesn't happen very much for the Rangers. Has not happened a lot this year. But the Rangers do get the series sweep today. Last time they did it was last month against the White Sox. So can we just play the White Sox every day? That sure would be nice. But the Rangers right now go back to Arlington, having won, let's see, four games on the road trip, 4 out of 6. Probably could have won the series in Cleveland. But look, we'll take 4 out of 6 on the road trip. I don't think there is anything wrong with that at all. Now we go back home, play Oakland, and there were some starting pitchers announced, so we'll be able to do a little bit of a preview for that Oakland A's series. Last night on the live, we kind of talked it through. It's not always a super cut and dry, straightforward series with the A's. Just a team that it seems like it can never be easy against. So I'm holding my breath going into the A series. I'm not going to lie. I'm holding my breath a little bit. Not sure completely how it's going to go. I hope that we can take 2 out of 3 without too much of a challenge. Maybe even get a series sweep and go on a little, 6-game win streak by the end of it. That sure would be nice. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's check out the win from today, 2-1. And the big lead, I think, has to be Nate Eovaldi. Nate Eovaldi goes 7 strong innings, gives up 3 total base runners, 1 hit and 2 walks, strikes out 10. Evo was absolutely dealing tonight. And I think that Nate Eovaldi is clearly going for that innings, whatever you want to call it, innings, I don't want to say limit, but innings milestone that he needs to get his contract into an opt-in situation for him, an option activated when Evo, I believe, hits, is it 200? Or 300 innings over the last 2 seasons. So I think Evo is going to hit that for sure, and then he'll have a decision to make. The reports early on are that even though he is going to activate this player option, $20 million one-year deal is what the option is for, I think he is going to be testing free agency. A guy like Evo at the age that he's at, you really do feel like he could still get another 3-year, I don't know about a 4-year deal, but I think he could definitely get a 3-year deal. Another one, Rangers gave him one, of course. But I think he could easily get that, probably get around that $20 million a year mark. Don't know what the market is going to be completely for Evo, but I have to guess somebody is going to be willing to pay him at least $20 to $25 million a year. I don't think that Jordan Montgomery can get, $25 million? Like he did with the Diamondbacks, while Evo gets a whole lot less than that. I think Evo could probably get around that $25 million a year mark. I mean, I don't know, again, what the market is going to end up being, but I do think that Evo is going to be using those comps, Snell, Montgomery. Hey, these guys, look at their average annual. And I think Evo's got a case that he's better than both of those pitchers, better than Snell, better than Montgomery for sure, based on what Jordan's done this past year with the Diamondbacks. So I think Evo is going to be collecting a pretty penny in the offseason. I hope that he takes, I don't want to say some kind of hometown discount with the Rangers. I think the Rangers are probably going to splurge and keep Evo around. I think that would be the guy that they would probably splurge on. Maybe Evo opts into that $20 million player option, but if I'm him, I'm trying to get that 3-year, maybe 4-year deal that takes me towards the end of my career. You want to do the 1-year deal thing in your upper 30s, early 40s, so be it. But I think Evo's going to try and secure that last multi-year deal. That's what I'd be trying to do, unless the market is just really telling him that he's not going to be getting 20 mil on the open market. I just find that really hard to believe with the money that got thrown around last offseason. with Montgomery, with Snell. I think Evo is just as good, if not better, than Blake Snell. That is my opinion. We can go back and forth about that, but I know most Rangers fans are probably going to agree with me there. I know Blake Snell won a Cy Young. I know Evo definitely has had his ups and downs this year, this season, but I'd much rather have Evo than Blake Snell at this point. I mean, look, I'm not saying long-term, you know, over the next 10 years, but the next two, three seasons, I'd rather have Nate Eovaldi. He's a guy that has done it in the most pressureful moments in October. He's a guy that is going to consistently give you around that mid threes, low threes ERA. He's a dog. I'm definitely taking Evo over Blake Snell in the short term. If you want to argue long term, fine. I mean, if you want to argue long term, I think I would probably say, yeah, age alone, you definitely would probably want to go Snell. But over the next two, 3 years, give me Evo. Give me Evo. And Nate Eovaldi had an outstanding game today. Again, 7 innings, 10 Ks, 3 total base runners, only 1 hit allowed. Great game from him. Yes, we take it with a grain of salt against the worst team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox. But I definitely think you still have to look at Evo and the body of work. He has been consistently good. Yes, has taken his lumps along the way. But you look at his last 3 starts, Minnesota, 7 innings, 3 earned runs. Cleveland, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. And now Chicago, 7 innings, shutout baseball. So you got Evo over his last 20, only giving up 6 earned runs, striking out 21, only allowing 14 hits over those last 20 innings, 3 walks over those last 20. Evo is definitely in a little bit of a groove right now, and you love to see it both against really good teams like the Guardians, like the Twins, and then handling business against one of the bottom feeders as well. It's not always as cut and dry as it seems. You face some of these bottom feeder teams, and sometimes you can end up taking some L's if you underestimate them. But the Rangers take care of business. Every game had to be close, of course. All right, we had a 2-run game and then 2-1 run games. So we just love to play these tight games with the worst team in baseball, but it is what it is. We're not going to complain too much. We get a series sweep. Let me go to some comments here. Jonah Heim, I think, in terms of his defense, 100%, I'd agree with you. Jonah Heim's having a pretty bad year offensively. So I don't know if I'd say he's underrated from an offensive standpoint. From a defensive standpoint, framing pitches, back there handling the pitching staff in general, calling the game, I definitely think he's underrated. I know he won a gold glove, but nevertheless, I think if you're talking about the average MLB fan, I don't think a lot of people do know about Jonah Heim and what he can bring to a pitching staff, again, from a defensive perspective. Again, offensively, Heim's had a pretty bad year. Big-time regression from him dating back to last year, 95 RBI, All-Star. Heim's not even close to that right now. I do love Jonah. Hope that he has a good rebound year in 2025. Love what he brings behind the dish, but definitely been a down year for him offensively. I don't think there's any way around that. Yep, Langford definitely had a nice, productive out. It's the kind of stuff that we've talked about on the show so often here. So we're talking about in the top of the 7th inning. At that point, you had runners on. You had less than 2 out. You had runners on 1st and 3rd, I believe. Nate Lowe was on 3rd. Josh Young on 1st. And you're able to get a little soft ground ball. You put the ball in play, hit it on the ground. Wyatt Langford uses the wheels, and we're able to score a run, push it to 2-0. That was a big insurance run in the top of the 7th because, of course, Andrew Benintendi comes up and hits the solo bomb. Now, if we're being completely real, the bomb never should have happened. Josh Young overrunning a play at third base in foul territory. Andrew Benintendi should have been out on that foul ball that Josh Young overruns. But nevertheless, the insurance run, Wyatt Langford in the 7th inning, that was huge. It was huge because that solo shot ties the game without it. Rangers definitely had their missed opportunities today. In fact, it was not a very good offensive day as a whole. Corey Seager, of course, probably our second biggest story of the day today, hits his 200th home run. And I've been talking this up a little bit on the live, but at the beginning of the season, I posted a reel about Corey Seager, and I posted basically the easiest, most likely bet to cash this season was Corey Seager over 29 and a half home runs. Look, we're not even, a month left? We got a whole month left, basically, in the season, and that bet already cashed. I mean, that is as no sweat of a bet as it gets. Corey Seager going for his 30th home run, 200th home run of his career. Congratulations to Corey Seager, and thank you for cashing that overs bet for me. 29 and a half was the bet I said at the beginning of the year. Most likely bet to cash. And sure enough, he cashes it with a month to spare. Might have to do a repost on that one. Little pat on the back. We got to celebrate the little wins here at Ride On Rangers. But Corey Seager provides basically all the offense needed, with Wyatt Langford providing the insurance run with the ground out in the top of the seventh. But this was a pretty bad day offensively. The Rangers were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left 8 guys on base. We had a couple of scenarios where the Rangers could have busted the game wide open. Didn't happen. So if we can go back and take a look here, top first, top second, top third, the Rangers went down 1-2-3. So Mastrini, who had been getting absolutely lit up of late, of course the Rangers have to make him look really, really good. He throws 3 innings of perfect game baseball. In the top of the fourth, finally, Seager hits the bomb, and Josh Smith draws the walk. And that ended the perfect game, if you even want to get technical with it being a perfect game that early on. Top of the fifth, we had a Josh Jung single. Josh Jung steals second base, so you've got 2 opportunities to get Josh Jung home. Jonah Heim flies out. Leody gets called out on strikes. And in the pitch that Leody gets called out on, I must say, pretty much painted right there, outside corner, kind of middle, out and a little bit low. But look, it can't happen. You have got to find a way there to put the ball in play with 2 outs. At least Jonah puts the ball in play, gets Josh Jung over to third base from second. But Leody there, look, we know we're talking about the 9-hole hitter. Leody didn't have a great day at the plate today, 3 Ks and 4 ABs, but we had to put the ball in play there. Top of the sixth inning, we had 2 quick outs from Simi and Siegs, a Josh Smith double. So another opportunity with runners in scoring position. Dolie grounds out to end the inning. Top of the seventh, that's where we had leadoff double, Josh Jung singles. So we have runners on first and third. And at that point, we had Wyatt Langford believe grounding out. We had Josh Jung going to second. Jonah Heim walks, and this was a particularly painful one. Really an opportunity. It's 2-0. There's only 1 out. You've got a situation here where you've got Leody and Simi coming up with a chance to really bust the game wide open. Leody strikes out. Simi strikes out. Simi had another tough day, 0-for-5 with 3 Ks. So Leody and Marcus Simeon back-to-back in the lineup, right? They go a collective 0-for-9 with 6 Ks. Just painful. But look, I'm glad that the bad day at the plate from both of them did not come back to bite the Rangers today. But that top of the seventh, you're looking at maybe a potential 4-0 lead, 5-0 lead. Maybe you don't have to use Kirby Yates and David Robertson in that spot. Hopefully it doesn't come back to hurt the Rangers in the A series, but you got to get a win. You got to get a win. I mean, look, it's very low chances the Rangers are going to do anything in October moving forward, but you got to get wins right now. That is the name of the game after all. But I'm glad that the missed opportunities did not come back to haunt the Rangers today. Top of the eighth, we had a Corey Seager fly out, Josh Smith single, Dolie strikes out. Then we had a Nate Lowe single, which made it first and second, 2 outs. Josh Jung comes up with a big opportunity, and Josh Jung did have 2 hits today. I talked on the show last night. I feel like Josh Jung has had so many of these opportunities with runners in scoring position of late and just has not been able to come through. Really hope that that clutch factor comes around a little bit stronger for him over the next 20-something games. Josh Jung, you just feel like he has just had a number of these 2 outs, runner on second, runner on third, and we just need a base knock, and it's just not coming right now. Fortunately, it doesn't cost the Rangers in this one, but this is probably not going to play against one of the top teams in baseball. Fortunately, that's not really who we're playing coming up. So the Rangers able to squeak out a win today, 2-1 victory. They improved to 63-71 on the year. Last night on the live, I said, can we just get back to 500 this year? Can that kind of be the goal? That would be outstanding. I would love to see that. Can we just get back to 500? Now, top of the ninth inning, Rangers go pretty quietly. Wyatt Langford hit by a pitch and then three straight outs. And then Kirby Yates comes on, does give up the homer to Benintendi, but gets three outs beyond that. Did have a strikeout as well in the inning. Kirby Yates, 140 ERA on the season, 25 for 26 in save opportunities. David Robertson, 27th hold of the year, which, again, hold to me as good as a save. So David Robertson, 295 ERA on the season. This is the recipe. This is an all-too-familiar recipe for the Rangers. You build that early lead. Rangers up 2-0, up 1-0, and the starter gives you a great outing. Nate Eovaldi doing his thing, and then you pass it off to the dominant bullpen, right? That is the recipe here. And the Rangers, when they can get this formula going, they are a really, really good team and a tough team to beat. You give the Rangers a 2-0, a 2-run, 3-run lead going into the 7th or 8th inning, it's pretty much game, set, match. If you get out in front of the Rangers early, it's pretty much game, set, match the other way. But anytime the Rangers can get this 1-2-3-run lead late, you feel really, really good about their chances, especially if it's a 2-3-run lead going into the 8th inning where you can hand it off to Robertson and Yates. This is the formula, and the Rangers are able to execute it well against the White Sox. We'll see what the series with the A's holds. And the box score, by the way, we talked about Seager. We talked about the 200th bomb, 30th home run of the season, cashing that Corey Seager overs bet. 29.5 homers was the season mark for Corey and his home run total. So he clears that today as well. That's something that we had bet and posted about at the beginning of the year. And Doley going down the lineup here, 0-for-4 today. Not ideal from Adolis. He's cooled off a little bit, I think it's safe to say. Hitting .192 over his last 7 games. He's definitely cooled a bit in the last week or so. Tough to have your 4-hole hitter go in .192 over his last 7. You're not going to be scoring a ton of runs when your cleanup hitter is doing that. No homers over his last 7 games is what it is, but would like to see Doley finish on a good note in 2024. We keep going. We passed over Josh Smith, but it was nice to see Josh get on base 3 times today. Josh has been having a tough, I think, last 2-3 weeks. We talked about Josh Smith. We kind of debated on the show, would it be a good thing to maybe potentially platoon him, especially when you have September call-ups happening? I know for some people maybe would say, no way, Josh Smith, MVP, been great all season long for us. I do think at this point, I think we can just kind of be real about Josh Smith. He's a good player. He's a solid player. He's not a 3-hole hitter. He's a guy that probably overperformed for most of this year. I think we're seeing a little bit of regression from him late. Not that he doesn't have his moments still. But for me personally, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Smith get a little bit of a platoon role here in September. Unless the Rangers truly are making this playoff push. If they're not, though, and they truly do get knocked out of it, I'd like to see some of the minor league guys get some opportunities in the infield and from the DH role. That would be, I think, ideal. But Josh Smith on base 3 different times, I would absolutely love to see him continue that. But Josh Smith over his last 7 games, not terrible. Last 30 is a little bit more ugly, 235, 250 actually over your last 7. But look, this is your 3-hole hitter. If Josh Smith is hitting 250 with a 280 OBP over his last 7 from the 7-8 hole, I'm saying, you know what, respectable. But this is your 3-hole hitter. And Josh Smith, just not that type of dude. The Rangers don't really have anybody better to throw in that role. They don't really have any better option, anybody that is hot right now that deserves to get promoted up to that spot in the lineup. It kind of is what it is. I'm curious to see what they do in September once the rosters expand. I think it kind of depends on how things shake out on the scoreboard with Houston, with Seattle, and just with how the Rangers themselves are doing in the standings. But if the Rangers do get knocked out, I'd like to see some of these vets getting platooned a little bit, give some of the minor league guys a shot. That way you know what you have, a little bit better idea, I should say. You have a little bit of a better idea of what you have going into 2025. I'll take a break for comments here. Let me keep going. So Natalie says, they mentioned on the broadcast Langford is having trouble getting the ball in the air, specifically to the pull side. Is that something that will get better with time? Can an adjustment be made? I did hear them talking about this as well. You know, it's funny. When they said that, I really don't necessarily know. Maybe the stats would back it up. But just the eye test, that wouldn't have said that's something he's struggling with. I feel like, in fact, he has definitely had some of those pop-ups in the very shallow outfield, like a lot of Rangers players this year. So I guess the stats say otherwise. I'm sure that they pulled something that's showing that he is having a problem with that. I think there are adjustments that can be made. And I think in the offseason, the Rangers really do need to retool some things. I think Wyatt Langford, in all honesty, is a guy with his speed. Yes, he has power. I'm not saying he needs to be hitting the ball on the ground every time, but I don't know if they need to be emphasizing ball in the air with Wyatt. I think he's a guy that has so much raw power. If you can just get him in that line drive mentality, I think the home runs are going to naturally come as he continues to refine his game. So for me, I don't think I'm taking Wyatt Langford into the lab over the 2024-25 offseason and trying to get the dude to get the ball in the air more. I mean, if anything, and I know this might be very polarizing, if anything, I'm trying to get him to not hit the ball in the air as much. Use your wheels, hit line drives, and the home runs are going to naturally come. I mean, they just are. Wyatt Langford, one of the fastest players in the game. A lot of times, too, I know for the casual fan, maybe this isn't going to make sense or click, but I always felt like as a player, when you tried to hit the ball into the ground, the line drives would naturally come because your bat path, the bat path through the strike zone was just at a more succinct, refined angle. Whereas when you're trying to get lift, you have tendency to drop your shoulder a little bit, and that's where those pop-ups come into play. So for me, I'd almost be a fan of them getting him more into a line drive mentality. And I do think just the power that he has, the raw power, you're going to see the home runs come from those line drives. So we'll see what they do. I think the Rangers just approach in general needs a retooling. I think this is a team that tries to hit the ball in the air way too much. There's not enough line drives, ground balls. And look, I know that right now the analytics are saying you don't want to hit ground balls. I think the Rangers have some guys with some wheels, and you just need to put the ball in play sometimes. And the Rangers struggle to do that. We get so upset with them about their inability to get productive outs, as we call it. Productive outs is ground ball right side, right? Wyatt Langford had a little shallow ground ball today that turned into a productive out. The Rangers, in my opinion, just this year, they haven't been able to hit those big pop flies, those big fly balls that get back to the track consistently. They can hit the pop-up, but the pop flies that take the outfielders back to the foot of the track or to the wall hasn't been there as much for the Rangers this year, especially in those moments where you need to advance base runners. For me, second and third, if the infield isn't in, you have got to be able to hit a ground ball right side, second and third, one out, infield playing back, or not all the way in, you have got to be able to execute. So I want to see the Rangers do some tweaking. I don't know if it's going to take, you know, a new hitting coordinator or coach. I'm not a big advocate of firing guys left and right on the coaching staff, but I do think if the coaches stick around next year, they have got to get some of these guys putting the ball in play better and making the defense work. The defense doesn't really have to work at all on a lazy pop fly to shortstop. They just don't. They don't know how to work there. So I think the Rangers need to change the mentality a little bit. More line drives, more hard ground balls. I would like to see that versus always trying to get the big hit. And this year, the Rangers, they had that approach. They had that mentality. And it failed them quite a bit this season. Tristan, what's up, my guy? Agreed. Awesome game. Great game. Love Evo's start. I mean, I am not by any means like an offensive snob. Like I got to see runs in order to be happy with the game. I love watching a pitcher deal out there. So Evo, watching him out there on the mound was an absolute treat, just carving up the White Sox offense. Again, we take it with a grain of salt. We're not sitting here pretending like he did that to the Yankees or the Orioles. I think those would be extremely impressive feats. Not that Evo hasn't pitched well against those teams in the past at times, but You know what I'm saying. We take this one with a grain of salt, but nevertheless, it was a masterclass from Ivo today, and good for him. Beyond that, in the box score, not a whole lot else to go through. Nate Lowe and Josh Young each get two hits apiece. Doley, Simi, Langford, Heim, and Tavares all go over. Again, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, 8 runners left on base, just not ideal. Rangers pitching has to be the MVP in this one if you're not going to give it to Siegs. Only one opportunity for the White Sox with runners in scoring position. That is elite pitching. 0-for-1, the White Sox were with runners in scoring position, only 4 left on base. I mean, that just goes to the lack of opportunities that they had. By the way, I'm watching the replay of that Corey Seager. What was it, bottom of the 8th inning ground ball, where he's able to throw out the runner, kind of sitting on his butt there on the dirt. Great play. Didn't quite get a smile out of Seager. I thought maybe we were going to see a rare Corey Seager smile, but that was a nifty little play from Siegs, just getting the job done. I like it. But that's the box score. Not a whole lot else to go over. We talked about Robertson. We talked about Yates already. So if you got anything else from the game that you want to recap, I think absolutely put it in the chat, put it in the comments. I'll be happy to go through it. But for right now, I'd like to start going through the preview of the Oakland A's series, go through some of the pitching matchups with you guys. I will scroll through TikTok real quick. If I had to take somebody in TikTok's asking me Braves or Phillies, give me Phillies. Although Braves do have a lot of talent on that team, I'm going to take Phillies on that one. Let's go Yankees. What's up, coach, by the way, if you're still around? Yeah, Yankees got a good squad. I don't know if they got quite enough pitching to get the job done, but they got a good squad. God bless you as well. Appreciate you, coach. Let me keep going here. Reds money line. I don't know if I'd be betting the Reds a whole lot this year. Go Rangers. We'll bounce back next year. Yes, sir. Sorry, I don't know if y'all are still around or not. I got a lot going on. I got TikTok on the phone here. Everybody else on the Mac here. So we got a little bit of everything, but I'm trying to keep up with y'all. What do I think about the Dodgers? Somebody asked. I think the Dodgers are going to be in the World Series this year. Got to think that. Somebody said Ivo is not better than Snell. I think that is super debatable. I think that is very debatable. I would love to do a deeper dive into that. In a playoff game, how about this? In a playoff game, I'm not taking Snell over Ivo. I don't think anybody would. If you just want to go like regular season stats, sure. I don't think a lot of people are taking Blake Snell in a playoff game over Nate Eovaldi. So if you want to argue regular season, you know, versus postseason, maybe. But in a big game, I want Nate Eovaldi on the mound. Blake Snell, he's had his moments, but I would much rather have Ivo on the mound in a big game. Let me keep going here. And again, I think just to clarify, I said short-term, give me Ivo. Long-term, give me Snell. You talk in the next 2 years, I'd rather have Ivo. He's going to perform better in the postseason. Blake Snell, this year, I think he is actually having a pretty decent season. I mean, playing for a really bad team. But Blake Snell this year, look, 3.76 ERA, about identical to Ivo. But the consistency for me, look, the Cy Young that he won in 2023 with the Padres, definitely well-earned. I thought well-deserved, 2.25 ERA. Definitely was a little high on the walks. I think that was kind of a big moment for him. But nevertheless, I think that in a big game, a playoff game, I'm going to take Ivo. I like the Cy Youngs, but look, Cy Young to me is not everything. I'm going to go ahead and take Ivo in a big game over Blake Snell. That's me. Let me keep going. I think I caught up with just about every comment. Let me keep going here. 30 game. Nico, what's up, my guy? 30 game win streak coming up. That would be amazing. What is, you know, I got to look it up. I knew at one time, longest winning streak in Major League Baseball history, longest winning streak MLB history. Let's check this out real quick on the fly. 26 games in the 1916 New York Giants, but in the live ball era, as they call it, so like 1960s, longest winning streak is 22 games by the 2017 Cleveland Indians. Guardians now, sorry. At the time, Cleveland Indians. But we have, look, the Rangers on a little three-game win streak. Can we make it six? Let's just go a series at a time here. But six-game win streak, sweep the series coming up here against the A's. I think that is possible. Let me see. Cowboy fan and TikTok, I don't think we're going to get to the wild card this year for the Rangers. I sure hope so. And look, if the Rangers make the wild card, I will gladly eat crow, but I'm not thinking the Rangers are going to be in the playoffs this year. I'll start getting excited if they can cut down to maybe four or five games with like 15 games left. I think they've got a shot, right? If they can get the division lead deficit down to around five games with like maybe 15 to 20 games left, I'll say they have a chance. But they need to start having the Astros lose some games, and there's just no guarantee of that. I'll keep going. Grossman and Jankowski put on waivers. I have not been out, been up on all the transaction moves. I'm just not even going to lie to you guys. So I did not see that. Rangers put Robbie Grossman, Travis Jankowski on outright waivers. They can continue to play for Texas. Neither were designated for assignment. Outright waivers are irrevocable. So if either player is claimed, when the 48-hour waiver period expires, they'll head straight to the new club. So we'll see what happens. Kind of a little bit of a money-saving move. It's not very much money saved, but it is some kind of money saved. And those guys, of course, not key cogs in the Rangers lineup, and you want to get some of the rookie guys some experience. You don't want Grossman and Jankowski getting in the way of that. So I do see why they did that. Of course, Jankowski with that incredibly amazing clutch catch last night. But if we're just being objective about Jankowski, we have not seen him have a lot of success this year. He's largely been a guy that has gone 0 for 4, 0 for 3 for you most nights. Made an outstanding play last night to save the game and get the Rangers a win. But I can't say Travis Jankowski is going to be a huge, huge loss for the Rangers. Awesome guy, awesome person, great teammate, no doubt. But at least in between the lines, I don't know how big of a loss Grossman or Jankowski is really going to be. And like the comment says here, I think you got to open up a couple of spots for some of the guys that are in the minor league system right now, lobbying maybe for a major league role next year. You don't want Jankowski and Grossman getting in the way of that. Let me see here. We'll be back up, but don't know who else will be. Could we see Rocker? I don't think Rocker is probably going to get an opportunity this year. Maybe. I guess if he just keeps killing it in AAA, maybe they'll think about it. But my thought would be they are probably going to give him a shot to make the roster in spring training if he continues to pitch like this. Maybe they're going to go ahead and just fast track him to the big leagues. Who knows? I mean, who knows? If he keeps throwing like this, CY keeps everything pretty close to the chest, so you just don't know what to expect completely. Nothing would shock me, but I would say for now, it seems like the play would be let him finish out the rest of the season in AAA, continue to work that arm strength, and to come back completely from the recovery process from that arm injury that he suffered, what, a year and a half ago? Maybe, though, he's just going to be too good to resist down in the minor leagues, and they'll call him up for a little bit in September. But I think more likely plan is probably spring training invite with an opportunity to make the opening day roster. And there you go. Let me keep rolling here. I'll go to the series coming up this weekend. So Oakland coming to town. Rangers will head back, get some home cooking for the weekend series with the Athletics. I think this is one of the final series we play against Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. But we're going to check things out here. So tomorrow night, Rangers will be throwing John Gray, and he will be going up against Sears, who has had a little bit of success against the Rangers in the past. I think he had one nice game against us, one game that was a little bit more him regressing to his usual, but J.P. Sears will be throwing the baseball for the A's against John Gray. John Gray has had a rough stretch of games for the Rangers, perhaps. He gets back on track against the A's, but it was ugly against the Guardians last time out. Some of his starts of late have not been good. Over his last seven games, which include four starts, he's got a 6.23 ERA. I'm not super high on John Gray right now. Tomorrow, you guys don't hear me say this very often, but tomorrow is a game that I'm feeling a little bit uneasy about. Just don't know if the Rangers are going to get quality out of John Gray. I hope so. He's had, I think, a good start against Oakland this year, if my memory serves me correct. Hopefully that will be true tomorrow night. Friday night, Rangers will be wearing the City Connect unis. I like those a lot. Home game, of course. So maybe John Gray, let's see the splits. But maybe Gray a little bit better at home than away. Let me check this out. So in 2024, John Gray at home, 3.45 ERA versus on the road, 5.53. That's a big difference. So John Gray does appear to pitch better at home than on the road. Some guys are like that. John Gray 4-2 with a 3.45 ERA at home, 1-3 with a 5.53 ERA on the road. Could that be a little bit of a tell there, a little bit of a pattern, a tendency? I think at this point, maybe you say, yeah. So John Gray pitching at home, maybe we get a bit of a different guy than the pitcher that's gotten roughed up over his last several games. And, of course, on the road against Cleveland, the Toronto game was fluky. He didn't even throw a pitch in that one. But before the Toronto game, he had July 23rd against the White Sox. Great start. In L.A., 5 innings, 3 earned runs before that. He was, let's see, in Baltimore. That's where he gave up the 8 earned runs. So a lot of these games where he's gotten shelled have come on the road. He has not gotten shelled a lot at Globe Life. I think he gave up 5 runs against the Cubs on March 31st at Globe Life. Beyond that, against the Mets, he did get pretty hard hit on June 17th at home. Those are pretty much the only 2 starts, though, you can point to. Everything else looks pretty good. So hopefully John Gray with the home cooking at Globe Life Field will be back to the guy that we saw throw really, really well at the beginning of the year. He's fallen off a little bit of late. I hope John Gray can find that groove again. Finish 2024 on a really good note for the Rangers. That's got to be the plan. Got to be the plan. Let me keep things rolling here. I'm just checking TikTok for any comments I may have missed. Nope, think we're good. So beyond that, Saturday's game. Let's check out Saturday's game. We've got a few, looks like, other matchups that we can explore here. I will get into how John Gray has fared against the A's in his career. I'll also get into the Rangers' numbers against J.P. Sears. But real quick, on Saturday, the Rangers will be throwing Cody Bradford against Estes for the Athletics. And then on Sunday, Rangers will be, looks like actually to be determined, but the Athletics are throwing Spence, 4.54 ERA for him, but no announced starter yet, probable starter for the Rangers on Sunday. Now, let's go ahead and let's get into that John Gray versus J.P. Sears matchup. So let's do A's against John Gray in their careers. Allen, the shortstop, 0 for 5. Blade, 0 for 6. Brown, the left fielder, looks like 2 for 11 with a home run. Butler, 0 for 2. We've got Geloff, the second baseman, 0 for 3. Langoliers, 0 for 5. That's good to see. The dude that absolutely torched us last time the A's came to Globe Life. McMahon, 1 for 2. Nevin, 0 for 2. Rooker, 1 for 2. So John Gray has thrown against some of the A's batters, small sample size, but looks like initially he's had some success against them. Hope that carries over. Rangers against Sears. Ezekiel Duran is hitting, looks like 5 for 11. 5 for 11 versus Sears in his career. Dolley is hitting, I believe, 5 or 4 for 19. Robbie Grossman hitting 5 for 8. Jonah Heim, about 4 for 13. Josh Young, 2 for 8. Wyatt Langford, 0 for 3. Nate Lowe hitting about 4 for 14. Corey Seager, not good against Sears. Lefty on lefty there. I think he's 2 for 13. Marcus Semien, 2 bombs against Sears, 316 batting average and 19 plate appearances. So maybe Semien is a guy you circle as having a big day for tomorrow. Leote, 2 for 12 with a home run. So Grossman, Heim, Semien, and Taveras have all homered off Sears. So a couple of guys with some good numbers, but I'll be interested to see how the Rangers' bats fare. I can't say I hold a lot of hope that tomorrow is going to be a breakout day offensively, but I would love to be wrong. Would love to be wrong. Oh, man, we got more Houston fans in the chat and TikTok. Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining, because I get to do my daily Just, can we relive the ALCS? Can we relive the Houston Astros choking in the ALCS? Can we relive the Astros going back home with two opportunities to beat the Rangers, the so-called little bro, as somebody in TikTok is pointing out? Can we just call it like it is? Astros just choke totally. Rangers just took the Astros out behind the woodshed and laid it on them in Game 6 and Game 7. That was no gift. That was a freaking beatdown. And the Astros still have a lot to prove, I think, in the postseason this year. I'm sure they'll make it. I don't think the Astros are winning at all by any means. Good luck, especially against the Yankees, the Orioles, teams of that nature. I can't say I think the Astros are going to be doing anything special in this postseason. Prove me wrong, but it doesn't matter. Y'all still got to beat the Rangers in the postseason to get your cred back. I'm sorry. Talk all the trash you want. Beat the Rangers in the postseason before you want to talk any mess. All right. Thank you. Like I told y'all, anytime an Astros fan comes in the chat, I will relish the opportunity to relive the ALCS. 1,000,000%. So I welcome it. Keep on coming. Please. Please keep on coming in the chat. So we can talk about the American League Championship Series where the Rangers freaking beat down the Astros. Four games on the road in Minute Maid Park, and none of those games were particularly close. In fact, most of them were ugly. And Adolis Garcia is y'all's daddy, 1,000,000%. Let's keep going. I could go on forever about that American League Championship Series, but we will keep on coming. and apparently the A's are coming for us. All right. Look. Against the A's, I will be real. It's kind of been a little bit of a house of horrors against the A's no matter where we play. It would be nice to just have a straightforward series here. We'll see what happens. But let's go to action around the league. I don't think there's a whole lot to report here. There were a few teams that were off today, but scores around the league so far. Looks like we've got the Astros playing the Royals in Houston tonight, 7:10 Texas time. So maybe we do a little bit of scoreboard watching there. The A's are beating the Reds 4-0. Angels beat the Tigers 3-0. So far, the AL West getting some wins today. Hopefully, the Royals will beat up a little bit on Houston for us just to make things a little interesting, just to make those Astros fans sweat it out a little bit. I would love to see it. Watch them get nervous when the lead starts slipping away. In fact, I already saw, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was like a viral clip or anything, but there was an Astros fan. One of my Astros friends actually showed it to me, getting real nervous about the Yankees. I would say, look, Orioles, Yankees, I think are probably going to be getting through into the ALCS over the Astros. I don't think Houston has enough pitching, but like I said, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. We'll see what happens. Yeah, yeah. Astros fans do like to talk a lot. They like to talk a ton, actually. But the reality is they lost last year. It's really all you need to say. Let me go to headlines from around the league. Headlines from around the league. We got, is Ohtani on the front page again? That would absolutely not shock me. No, it's not. It's not anything Dodgers. Crazy. There is a Yankees player on the front page. So there's that. But the headline is 8 soon-to-be free agents who need a strong finish. They got Blake Snell, Torres for the Yankees, Profar, Belly, Pete Alonso. And there you go. Corey Seager did make the front page, 200th career homer. Puts him in a class by himself. Let's check this out here. So he became the first purely left-handed hitting shortstop, excluding switch hitters, right? Purely left-handed hitting shortstop in Major League history to hit 200 home runs, and the 15th shortstop overall in Major League history to hit 200 home runs in a career. Milestones for Corey Seager. He joins the Mets' Francisco Lindor and Rangers teammate Marcus Semien as the only active players on the list who played at least 50% of their career games at shortstop to accomplish that feat. So, Corey Seager, congratulations. Very, very glad to see him continuing to add on to what is going to be a storybook career. course, Corey Seager, one of four players to have two World Series MVPs. Incredible, incredible talent. And the Rangers still have many years to come with Corey Seager in the red, white, and blue. Gotta love that. Somebody says on TikTok, if we sweep the A's, do we have a chance of sneaking in? No. I think, let me put it to you this way. If the Rangers were to sweep the A's and the Astros were to get swept by the Royals, that would put it at about a 4.5 game lead. Then you're cooking with gas. I'm not going to say that they're going to sneak in if that happens, but if you can get the Astros dropping 3 or 4 in a row and the Rangers winning 3 or 4 in a row, it will start to get very interesting. The Rangers do have 7 games left against the Mariners, who are 5 games ahead of them in the division series. In the division. And the Rangers are 9.5 games out of the wild card. I think the wild card is pretty unlikely to happen. The Rangers would really have to get in through the division. It is a long shot, but you need one of those. We win 5, they lose 5, and then it gets interesting. Rangers don't have any games against the Astros left. So, look, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I think the Rangers have a good chance to beat up on Seattle a little bit. No games left with the Astros, unfortunately. But I think they can beat up on Seattle a little bit. They do have a series with the Angels coming up. If you look at the Rangers' schedule down the stretch, it does get easier. I think they played a lot of their tough teams in August and September. I think the road gets a lot easier for the Rangers. So let me just give y'all a sneak peek at what they've got left. The toughest series they have left is probably against the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. You got 3 games against the Yankees on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week at Globe Life. And then you've got 2 games on the road against the Diamondbacks. Rangers split with the Diamondbacks in Arlington earlier in the season. And we'll see what happens in this 2-game set that's coming up here on September 10th and 11th. You go to Seattle after that Diamondback series. And then after that, you play the Blue Jays. Then you got the Mariners again. Then you got the A's again. Then you got the Angels to close out the year. That's a pretty fortuitous schedule. Now, baseball is one of those unique sports where any team can beat any other team in the league, regardless of record on any given night. But, of course, over a 162-game season, the best teams do emerge and show themselves and prove themselves. But you understand my point. You can't take any of these teams for granted, but I do think that the Rangers have a nice schedule, at least on paper down the stretch. Anything can happen. Still about 28 games left. This was game 134 today, so exactly 28 games left in the season. You're 8.5 games out of the division. Not ideal. Very much a long shot. You really do need to string together a bunch of wins. It's going to be tough with the Yankees coming in town, but that's why you got to play the games. So we'll see what happens. My hope is not completely gone, but I do think that it is very likely the Rangers are going to be watching from home in October. I think that my picks for World Series would have to be Orioles and Dodgers, although I am probably going to be cheering for the Diamondbacks to go all the way this year. I don't know. I just like that team. I think that last year they got close. They ran into a team that was just that much hotter than they were. Diamondbacks caught fire in the NL. Rangers caught fire in the AL. I'd like to see the Diamondbacks just totally will go all the way this year and knock out the Dodgers and the Phillies and all those big juggernauts, but we'll see if it happens. We'll see. Did we sweep? Did I get that wrong? I thought that for some reason we split, but maybe you're right. Maybe we did get a sweep there. That's my mistake. It's hard. Look, there's 128 games to remember. 34 games to remember. But let's see. That was back in April, I believe, that Diamondbacks was. And looks like trying to find it here. I'm just trying to see the scores and jog my memory. I do remember Semien got a day off, and it was, I think, in the second game before we got away. So Diamondbacks, sure enough, you're right, Natalie. Thanks for that. 4-2, we won game one, and then 6-1 winner as well. Back in late May, when hope still abounded for the Rangers' playoff chances. Maybe we'll see Jordan Montgomery in that series. That could be fun. Maybe we'll see Jordan Montgomery. Ah, Aaron, what's up, my guy? What is this in reference to? Help me out here, my friend. What did I miss? I'm going a little bit all over the place here. Brian, what's up, my guy? See you on TikTok here with the comment. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for the Diamondbacks. Brian's basically saying, I got respect for the Diamondbacks as a Rangers fan. Look, there was no like hate or anything in that series. In fact, I talked about on the live last night, the Diamondbacks this year remind me a lot of the 2010-2011 Rangers. You had a big loss in the World Series where you didn't really play it particularly close. The Diamondbacks got beat by the Rangers 4-1. The 2010 Rangers lost to the 2010 Giants 4-1. And then they came back, they reloaded with Beltre, and they made it back to the World Series again. Of course, we all know how it ended. But I think the Diamondbacks are going to be that kind of team. I think they would definitely be my like feel-good pick to win it all. I do think the Dodgers and I do think that the Orioles are going to potentially run that table in the AL and in the NL respectively, but that's why you got to play the games. Never in a million years would I have picked the Rangers and Diamondbacks World Series last year. I don't think a lot of people did either. But those are my picks. I'm sticking with them. Oh, Aaron thinks I'm a little delusional for thinking the Rangers have a shot. Aaron, let's just consult the odds here, my friend. Let me see here. Let me go to FanGraphs MLB odds, and let's just check this out. So according to FanGraphs, the Rangers currently have a 0.3% chance to make the playoffs. Aaron, there's a chance. 0.3% chance, in fact. No, look, in all honesty, I do not think the Rangers are going to make the playoffs. If they do, I'll be very happy. I'll be happy to take it from any Rangers fan that wants to give me a hard time. You didn't believe. Come on. I will gladly take all of that grief. Gladly. If the Rangers can somehow find a way to sneak into October, I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. Somebody does point out, Brian pointing out on TikTok, Montgomery is transitioning to the bullpen. I actually did read that. Hey, look, maybe we'll see him coming out of the bullpen. That would actually kind of be fun. I know he already got his ring when they came in late May, but it sure would be nice to see him actually pitch against the Rangers. It would just be kind of one of those fun moments that I've been talking about. I just said, hey, look, if you're not going to make the playoffs, let's have some fun moments down the stretch with the Rangers in September. I would love to see that happen. All right, y'all, we're going to wind things down here. So I'm going to check comments a little bit more. Natalie, your pick is KC. They have a player who has been on the World Series winning clubs from the past few years. Are you talking about Will Smith? Will Smith, of course, won a World Series the past three seasons. So if he were to win a World Series this year with the Royals, that would be four seasons in a row winning the World Series. Is that right? That would be incredible. If Will Smith can find a way to win a fourth World Series in a row. Will Smith, if he does that, he's going to be, you know, just like, I don't think, in a league of his own. I don't think it has anybody done the three in a row on different teams. I don't know if that has ever been done. 4 years in a row, each on a different team, that would be insane. If Will Smith, who currently pitches for the Royals, of course, pitched for the Rangers last year, if he would be able to pull that off, that would be fun. That would be a fun storyline, no doubt. No doubt. All right, y'all. Anything else to go through? I think I'm caught up on comments. And in terms of the headlines, there's nothing else I really feel like going through. Rangers, back at you tomorrow night, Friday, wearing the City Connects. Love it. But tomorrow, we will have John Gray on the bump against J.P. Sears, Cody Bradford in the game on Saturday, 7:05 Texas time start, 5:05 out here in Vegas for me. We should be coming live at you after that game and throughout the weekend, maybe try and go live during one of the weekend series games, maybe on Saturday, Sunday. We'll have to see what we can pull off, but it's always fun going live with you guys, giving you a little play-by-play, a little in-game analysis, and then post-game. We've only done that a handful of times this year, but it's been fun every time, win or loss. So we'll see if we can get that done this weekend. All right, y'all. Hope you have a great rest of your Thursday. Enjoy it and have a good weekend ahead if I don't see you. Hey, if you're not following, you're not subscribed to the channel yet, I would greatly appreciate if you hit that follow or subscribe button. Hit that notification button as well. Stay up to date every time we go live. get those notifications so you don't miss out on all of our latest and greatest content that we're putting out every single day, giving you great Rangers analysis post-game, and also doing our challenge, betting 1 cent for every follower on a Texas Rangers win. Every time we play the White Sox, that challenge starts looking up just a little bit, and then we go to the next series and take a dump. So I'm surely hoping that we can buck that trend and get some dubs against the A's this weekend in Arlington, get some home cooking. Hopefully you'll join us again this weekend. Hey, if you know somebody as well that loves the Rangers, loves baseball, share the channel with them. Share the account. Tell them about it. Maybe give them or send one of my videos to them. I would love to keep growing this good group of people we got talking baseball, talking Rangers, baseball in general. Appreciate all y'all. We're going to wrap things up for today. But as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.